Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're getting into a really useful intermediate technique, taking an old-school D&B breakbeat and giving it that dubwise, modulated, jungle-weighted treatment inside Ableton Live 12. The aim is simple. We want the break to feel alive, unstable in the right way, and still clean enough to drive a proper club mix. This is not about turning a break into some random FX loop. We're making it feel like it's being played through a dub system, filtered, delayed, slightly destabilized, then tightened back up so it still hits like jungle. That balance is where the magic is. Why this works in D&B is because the break itself already has character. Old school breaks carry swing, attitude, and history. When you add dubwise motion carefully, you get that smoked out, haunted energy that instantly reads as jungle or darker D&B. But if you push it too far, you can lose the transient clarity, the low-end punch, and the mixed discipline that keeps the track usable for DJs. So the whole game is movement without losing identity. Start by choosing a break that already grooves. Don't force a lifeless loop to become interesting. Drag in a classic-feeling breakbeat with clear snare hits, enough top-end detail, and maybe the bit of natural room or grit. Warp it in Ableton, but keep it honest. For crisp drum material, beats mode is usually the right starting point. Let the break breathe. Preserve the swing. Don't flatten the pocket just because the grid is there. What to listen for here is the snare feel. It should still lean into the beat, not land like a sterile sample. If warping makes it feel stiff, you've probably overcorrected it. And in jungle, that little bit of human push and pull is part of the groove. Once the break feels right dry, split it into two rolls. This is a really important move. Keep one layer as the core drum layer, and create a second layer for movement. You can duplicate the track, or resample it and edit the copy. The point is to separate the anchor from the atmosphere. On the core layer, keep things solid. A gentle EQ8 to tidy up sub-rumble, maybe a small cut if the break is boxy, then a light drum bus or glue compressor just to keep the hits glued together. Don't overdo it. The core layer should still sound like a drum break, not a processed effect. On the movement layer, that's where the dubwise treatment lives. High pass or band pass it, then add auto filter, echo or delay, saturator, and maybe utility to manage width and mono checks. If the dry loop already sounds good, stop and appreciate that. Seriously, a good dry break is the foundation. The dub treatment should enhance it, not disguise a problem. Now choose your flavor. You've got two strong directions. One is deeper and more smoked out, with a lower filtered range, slower modulation, and delay tails that breathe. That works beautifully for dark rollers, intros, and atmospheric jungle tension. The other is more urgent and old school, with a bit more top-end attack, shorter echoes, and faster motion. That's better for drop sections and high-energy switch-ups. If you're unsure, choose the deeper option for darker tracks, or the more urgent one if the tune needs bite. Next, build the dub motion. Put auto filter first on the movement layer and use it like a dub mixer filter. Start with a low pass or band pass, depending on how foggy you want it to feel. Then follow it with echo. Use modest resonance on the filter. Keep the feedback sensible. You're looking for echoes that answer the snare, not a wash that smears over the groove. A good starting point is a delay sync to 1/8, 1/8 dotted, or 1/4, depending on how dense the break already is. Feedback somewhere around 15-35% is plenty to begin with. Dry/wet can often stay lower than you think. On a movement layer, 10-25% can already feel very alive. What to listen for is whether the delay tail feels like it's talking back to the snare, or whether it's just cluttering the beat. The tail should answer the groove. The filter movement should feel like the break is inhaling before it hits. If the echo is sitting on top of the drums instead of behind them, shorten the feedback or reduce the wetness. After that, add saturation for grime and presence. Saturator is perfect for this, and drum bus can also do the job if you want a slightly more percussive edge. Put the saturation on the movement layer, or lightly on the core layer if the break is too polite. The goal is to add harmonics that help the break cut through on smaller systems and give the modulated tail some weight. Why this works in D&B is because jungle and old-school breaks often need a bit of exaggerated mid-range bite to stay audible against sub-heavy bass. That extra grit helps the ghost motion read on club systems, without needing more volume. Just be careful not to crush the snare into noise. If the decay turns into white fizz, back off the drive or place the saturator after a filter so you're only pushing the useful band. Now we need to protect the low end. This is a big one. If the break contains kick energy or low tom resonance, keep that under control before the dub effects start causing phase mess. High pass the movement layer somewhere around 120-250 Hz, depending on how much low drum content you actually need. Keep the core layer more mono and more stable. Use utility if you need to narrow the width of the drum body region. Always check mono. Dub delay and widened modulation on the low end can destroy kick punch fast. If the bottom starts wandering, the whole break gets wobbly and weak. Keep the low frequency centered, and let the movement live in the mids and highs. That separation is what gives the break size without losing impact. Once the motion feels right, print it. Resemble the modulated break to audio. This is where it starts becoming a real jungle performance instead of just a loop with effects on it. After you print it, cut it into smaller chunks. Half bars, one bars, little ghost fragments. Reverse a slice before the snare. Pull a delay tail into the gap before the drop. Duplicate a snare hit and let the echo bloom into the next bar. This is where the break becomes musical, not just textural. You're arranging tension and release now. You're not just running a loop. Bring in the bass line as soon as you can, even if it's just a placeholder sub and a simple mid-bass stab. This is essential. A dubwise break that sounds massive solo can become muddy the moment the bass enters. Check whether the snare is still the loudest and clearest mid-range accent. Check whether the break leaves room for the sub between hits. Check whether the echo tails sit behind the bass instead of fighting it. A really useful arrangement approach is to think in phrases. For example, bars 1 to 8 could be the filtered modulated break intro with some sparse bass hints. Bars 9 to 16 could bring in the full break and bass for the first drop. Then you can strip the movement layer back in the next section and return with a cleaner version, or go harder in the second drop with more aggressive resampled fills and filter movement. That phrase evolution matters a lot. In D&B, subtle changes across 4-bar or 8-bar phrases often do more work than constant variation. You want the listener to feel the break evolving, not just looping. So maybe the filter opens over the first 4 bars, the delay blooms in the next 2, then the witness pulls back so the return hits harder. That little inhale and release makes the section feel like a track, not a loop. A couple of extra coaching thoughts here. Treat this as a drum arrangement decision, not an FX preset. The second the dub layer starts competing with the snare or changing the backbeat, you've crossed into a different drum part. The question is never just does this sound cool solo, it's does this still let the bass line and snare communicate? That's the real test. And here's a great quick check. Mute the movement layer for 4 bars. Then bring it back. If the return feels bigger and more haunted without making the groove less clear, you're in the pocket. If the whole thing gets foggy or loses impact, simplify. A few common mistakes show up a lot with this technique. One is over-warping the break into a rigid grid. That kills the swing. Another is putting full range delay on the whole break, which creates mud and phase issues immediately. Another is driving saturation so hard that the snare becomes noise. And another is widening the entire break without checking mono, which can weaken the groove in club playback. Avoid those traps and the result will stay strong. If you want a darker and heavier D&B result, keep the dub motion mostly on the upper harmonics. A bandpass around the 300 Hz to 6 kHz range can give you smoke without stealing the sub foundation. You can also make the first drop more restrained and the second drop more aggressive. That contrast is powerful. It makes the arrangement feel intentional. Another great trick is to automate filter resonance only at the end of phrases, not continuously. That creates a brief whistle or sigh that feels like a live dub performance. And if the break is too clean, print it through saturation or drum bus, then re-edit the transients by hand. Resampling gives you a more committed, darker texture than endlessly tweaking live devices. Now, before we wrap up, remember the practical goal. You're building one 8-bar dubwise old-school break that can sit under a jungle or darker D&B drop. Use one break loop, only Ableton stock devices. Keep the movement layer high-passed, and print the modulated result to audio once. Your deliverable should be the dry core break, a dubwise movement layer, and at least one automated filter phrase change. Try to edit one resampled bar with a reverse hit or delayed fill. And most importantly, check it in mono. What to listen for at the end is simple. Does the snare still cut through clearly? Does the break feel more alive on bar 8 than on bar 1? Can you hear the movement without the drums turning to mush? If yes, you're on the right path. So the big takeaway is this. Preserve the groove first. Separate the clean core from the modulated layer. Filter the delay so the low end stays stable. Use saturation for grit rather than destruction. Print once the motion feels right, and arrange the phrase so the break evolves across bars. If the result feels like a smoky jungle break with depth, swing, and a strong punchy center, you've nailed it. Now go build it. Start with a restrained version, then make a second, more aggressive print for contrast. That's where this technique really becomes useful in a full track. Keep it punchy. Keep it haunted, and let the break breathe.